You're in the 06010.
Focus.
Fantasy.
Welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. My name is Daniel Dopp, here with my best friend, Mike Clay. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty well, and kind of a blast from the past here. I'm sitting in the radio studio, no video for this one, so this is going back a few years now.
It feels a little bit like coming home, I feel like, because we did so many shows here, so it's going to be fun. A lot of our off-season shows are going to come out of here. Mike, I want to say I almost didn't show up because I did such a poor job at bowling on Tuesday night. But luckily, David Presley and Kyle Soppy, who unfortunately are not able to be here, they both crushed it for us. But I
did not play well either. I was just starting to pick it up, and then it went downhill. I think the lanes were a little rough on us this week.
I think so.
Yeah. But, my friend, we survived.
That's so right.
Headed to the Final Four.
That's right.
Of the ESPN
Bowling
League.
We are so freaking pumped about it. Shout out to Brunswick making below average bowlers look respectable.
That's exactly
right.
That
should be there.
We did pick
I don't know
it
if
up
that's their slogan,
got,
but it should be.
Yeah, we should. As soon as we got the new equipment, suddenly our scores got
suddenly
better. It's
we
funny
got
how
better.
That works.
Amazing.
Wow. We're real bowlers now.
All right, we're going to talk about a bunch of way too early wide receiver rankings, Mike, because that's what we do around here. You got so many things in your head. We got to make sure that we get them out so we don't lose them. And we're going to start right off the bat. We're just going to jump right into this because we have a limited amount of time in the studio here. So I want to ask you one question on how you're approaching specifically the wide receiver position heading into 2023, there's a lot that happened this last year. I mean, there were a lot of different performances, a lot that we saw within the league. So how are you approaching wide receiver different from 2022 to 2023?
Well, I think I'd like to have Justin Jefferson and then go from there, right? obviously, you look at the top options and you have like Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, guys like that, those young superstars, you can feel really good about their floor and ceiling. They're still young. But you have other guys who are getting up there, right? Like Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp approaching or already 30 years old, and you wonder, will they drop off a little bit? And then after that, you know, after those top handful of guys, I mean, it's a lot of guys with similar outlooks a lot of guys that have really high ceilings or young players coming up or guys who are sort of established. But it's deep. It is deep, and it just keeps getting deeper. And it makes it a little tricky to figure out how you want to attack it. Do you want to get a tight end early, go running back heavy, and then look for value players and young guys coming up? But as you're going to see, as we dive into, we're going to start here at number 24 and work our way down through a couple of, over two episodes, where we'll go down to number one. You're just going to see how much talent there really is. So even if you miss out early on maybe a top-end receiver, you're still going to have a lot of really, really good players.
Absolutely. And in looking at this list of wide receivers, I look at this and I feel like there's still so many names that we're not even going to be able to get to. That's how deep the wide receiver position is here.
Yeah.
So let's start right off the bat and talk about number 24. Rookie this last year, Chris Olave. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about why you have him here at 24, because I feel like he really came on at the end of the season, but he started out obviously a little bit slow.
Yeah, it's funny. So I have some notes here that I took as I prepped for this, and there's going to be a similar trend the first like four or five receivers, and you'll pick it up as we move along here. But Olave, terrific, right? First round pick for the Saints, and he looked the part. 72 catches, over 1,000 yards, had only four touchdowns. I mean, he finished 25th in fantasy points, but I remember all the quarterback issues they had throughout the season. Andy Dalton was in and out. Taysom Hill at times was playing quarterback again. He had his moments, obviously, and of course Jameis Winston started the season and didn't go particularly well, but the usage was huge. 27% target share, the sixth highest average depth of target, which is interesting. Obviously, we like those vertical targets. The efficiency was outstanding, eighth in yards per route run. So I think the short and long of it with Olave is he's a hit, right? They took a first round shot on him. He looks like the real deal. He is their number one receiver. Michael Thomas technically under contract, but I think that will change very soon. He'll either be traded or most likely released by the Saints after his contract restructure to facilitate that. But again, the big question is, who will Olave's quarterback be? That's going to drive where he ends up settling into our rankings. But for now, I view him as a borderline wide receiver too, but there's upside for more. This guy's the real deal.
Yeah, are you telling me that Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill all rotating at quarterback isn't the best thing for
that
a wide receiver
bad.
In fantasy?
That seems bad. I think, Trevor Siemian play a little too? Like they Remember how well he started, right?
Seriously.
He started off really well, and then it kind of fell off. He missed a little time with the injury, but it was hard to count on him in the second half of the season because of those quarterback problems. But
yeah.
I think Olave is a guy you'll be happy to have on your team next year.
Absolutely. All right, let's jump ahead and talk about 23, and I feel like if quarterback issues plagued the last guy, they definitely plagued Michael Pittman, who I feel like I was waiting to be able to do so many things this year. Didn't work out the way that we hoped, and now you've got him at wide receiver 23 in your way too early 2023 rankings, Mike.
Yeah, you're starting to pick up on the trend.
I think
so. A little bit. It might be maybe the guy under center. We don't know who that's going to be for the the Indianapolis Colts. Most likely a first-round quarterback. They're picking early on. They
Very
could
early.
Trade up to number one.
Yep.
So we'll see what they do. I do expect it to be a first-round quarterback. But look, Pittman maybe lacked a bit of a ceiling last year. But overall, 99 catches, 925 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Finished wide receiver 20. He's been a top 20 receiver 2 years in a row now. But his yards and touchdowns were down a little bit last season. Targets and catches up, but yards and touchdowns down. Again, in an offense that was struggling with that quarterback position. Really kind of slid off after a decent start. He had 2 top 12s early on. Both were before week 7. That was it. He had no more the rest of the season, so kind of was lacking an upside. But again, you look at things like his average depth of target, yards per catch, yards per target, all were near the bottom of the wide receiver position. You would expect a better quarterback situation to help rectify that. So again, Pittman's a player I believe in. He's going to see a lot of volume. He can be used all over the field. Young player.
Still super young.
We just have to figure out who that quarterback is going to be. But again, for now, I think this is a player that if he's your wide receiver 3, you feel great in 10-team leagues. If he's your wide receiver 2, I think he can survive that there as well.
Yeah. Hopefully this next year is going to be much different than it was in 2022 with all of the things they had going on under center there, because that was just not a recipe for success for Michael Pittman.
Matt Ryan struggled. Nick Foles was in there. He struggled. Sam Ellinger.
It was
just a disaster, and he got 99 passes.
Yeah.
99 passes in that situation. And Paris Campbell's a free agent. We'll see if he's back. I mean, they don't have an established dominant number one tight end at this point. They like to do that by rotation. Alec Pierce, we'll see. I mean, new coaching staff there, obviously, in Indianapolis. Shane Steichen, he had a lot of success in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts. So there's reason for optimism here. It's just a matter of hitting on the quarterback position.
Well, speaking of new coaching staffs, let's move to 22, where Terry McLaurin gets to add Eric Bieniemy as his new assistant offensive coordinator. How is Eric Bieniemy going to come in and be able to impact what McLaurin and this Commanders offense does?
Yeah, and this will be the first time he's really calling the plays, Bieniemy. He was the OC in Kansas City. He goes to Washington now, and he'll take control in place of Scott Turner there in Washington. And I feel like, we love Terry McLaurin. We know that he's probably a top 10, 12 talent at wide receiver in the NFL. Just hasn't really gotten over the top from a fantasy perspective because of some of the things you just talked about. And specifically, guess what? The quarterback position. We don't know who the quarterback is going to be. Right now it's Sam Howell. It seems like a bold plan by them for sure to make him their number one. They must have seen something that they like in practice, but I expect them to add someone else to that room. But look, again, we still feel like we haven't reached the peak with McLaurin, and he's coming off a season with 77 catches, almost 1,200 yards, 5 touchdowns. He was the number 14 scoring fantasy receiver. That was a career best. Only 23rd in points per game. He did hold up and appeared in all the games last season. Target share was down a little bit for him last season. He's actually never finished top 10 in targets. That's something that
you
would expect maybe Bieniemy to try to fix in this Washington offense, but efficiency was really good. It's a guy that can get downfield, has really good speed. There's a reason his nickname, I like to call him F1.
Yep.
Matthew didn't like that
when
he was here. I like the F1, the McLaurin F1 nickname. Look, he's fast. He's a vertical target. I am a little more nervous about the quarterback situation just because I don't know if they have a plan that we feel like, okay, how good are you going to feel about Washington's offense if it is just Sam Howell? Like, it's a lottery ticket. Maybe he was a gem find, but it's a long shot.
Yep.
But he's going to be a difference maker quarterback. So a little nervous, but I'm buying in on the talent here. So that's why he's a borderline top 20 receiver.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Let's move to 21 and talk about Mike Evans, who I don't know.
Baby.
This one is tough because Mike Evans was so good. So good up until it felt like last year when the wheels just fell off with Tom Brady. And now you're going into a season where we don't know what's going to happen at the quarterback position. It's still him and Chris Godwin going to be splitting targets. Mm-hmm. How are you approaching Mike Evans, understanding the way that he fell off in the touchdown department?
So it's this, the fourth straight receiver where you don't know who the quarterback's going to be, right? So that's the trend I was talking about, obviously. No Brady. Right now it's Kyle Trask. They're saying nice things about him. They were doing that last offseason too when Brady was retired. He comes back. I don't think Tampa Bay's done at quarterback. So we'll see what they do there. Still had, again, 1,134 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 77 catches last season. Was 13th receiver in fantasy points per game, which might surprise you, right? Because the touchdowns really dropped off from 14 to 6. But targets, catches, and yards were all up from the prior season, right? So his target share did rebound a little bit. Did have a lot of down games. Definitely very boom-bust, but
I feel like he had a massive boom game in the playoffs that like really altered, not altered, but like it makes those stats feel a little bit better than what they are, because by the time that you get to the playoffs, he's burned you so many times you might not have been able to get to that game that you had.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, he had that situation where he went that long, it was like 2-3 months without a touchdown, but we kept saying it's coming because he's seeing 9, 8, 9, 10 targets. And that you're going to soak up points along the way and not totally crush the people who have you on your fantasy team. But the touchdowns weren't there, like you said, until that big barrage late in the season. But look, I mean, he's still playing at a high level. He is about to turn 30 years old. You worry about maybe a little drop off. But the big question here is quarterback. What do they do there? Do they find a way to get at least a Derek Carr or someone like that? Probably not. They don't have a lot of money to spend. We're just going to have to kind of see what they do at that position. But for now, at the end of the day, you're just saying, okay, this is Mike Evans. We know how good he is. 6'5", not many receivers like that in the NFL. We know what he brings to the table. So for now, we can kind of conservatively call him a borderline top 20 option.
It's really interesting because on top of not having a lot of money to spend, the Bucs are like 19th in the first round. Like they're too far down the list to be able to get one of those top guys unless someone really slides.
Yeah, this is, you know, a lot of times the teams say, oh, it's not a rebuild year. It's like a reload year or something. Yeah. It's a rebuild year for Tampa Bay. I mean, a lot of their team is a free agent on both sides of the football. Brady's gone. They don't have a clear path to getting a quarterback. I mean, it could be like a Jimmy Garoppolo, someone to kind of hold down the fort for a while. It's probably going to be rough. But, you know, at the end, if they do get Garoppolo and Evans is still there, which you would expect he will be, he could still put together another pretty nice season. But it's probably going to be a struggle for Tampa Bay next year.
All right, let's move into the top 20 now. Keenan Allen checks in here at 20. This guy has an established quarterback, so we're not really worried about Justin Herbert, but obviously he missed a ton of time last year. That really impacted his fantasy value for fantasy managers because they spent, seven games without him, which was tough. It felt like the goalpost kept getting moved on when he was going to come back. We kept waiting and waiting. So how are you approaching Keenan Allen, knowing that he, as well, on the other side of 30 going into 2023?
Yeah, you're right. He's turning 31 this year, so which is a little bit of a concern, but also he is kind of a possession receiver.
His role,
especially in PPR, he can survive. But let me ask you a question. So he came back and played 8 straight healthy games to finish the season. Where do you think he was in fantasy points per game during those 8 weeks?
Probably 20.
Third.
Really?
Third, 18.8 per game. He was wide receiver 3. That's how good he played those final 2 months of the season. Top 30 receiver in every game that he played. So he stepped right in there, was right back to good old Keenan Allen and some of his best work, frankly, to be wide receiver 3 over a 2 month span. So really good. Prior to last year, no lower than 13th in targets, catches, or fantasy points in 5 straight seasons. So this is a guy, again, that has a really high floor, great quarterback. We expect they bring in Kellen Moore, of course, there to kind of run the offense in Los Angeles. And look,
for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com today or just stop by.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Say what you want about what happened in Dallas. I mean, they were the best offense in the NFL for a couple months last year. They were scoring 4 or 5 touchdowns at will every single week. They were, you know, near the top of, you know, a lot of metrics out there in terms of, you know, Super Bowl favorites from FPI and everything. I mean, they were cruising offensively, and obviously it didn't work out for Dallas, but Kellen Moore had something going with that offense, and now he has Justin Herbert, probably a quarterback upgrade from what he had. Dak Prescott's good, but Justin Herbert has potential to be a top three quarterback in the NFL. So I think Allen has another good season in him, and we'll see if we get a little bit of an age discount, a discount coming off an injury plague season. So I'm optimistic about Allen.
That's one thing I always love to do, is be able to play up how old someone is when I'm talking to people in my fantasy leagues before we do the draft, where it's like, just to plant the seed, you know, look how old they are. They're not going to, you know, a little bit of doubt in their mind. That way you get that discount like you're talking about.
They lost a step last year.
Exactly, yeah. All right, let's talk about Tyler Lockett coming in at 19. This guy should have himself the same quarterback. The Seahawks are trying to re-sign Geno Smith. As of right now, it seems like that's the direction that everything is going to land. So looking at Tyler Lockett here, how do you approach him?
Yeah, I mean, he's had such a high floor. It's been incredible. And he's always underrated, right?
Always.
Even last year, we thought, all right, Russell Wilson's gone. Lockett was a bit boom-bust, but at the end of the day, he put up huge numbers for sure. So his floor by season was really tremendous. Still ends up with 84 catches, over 1,000 yards, and 9 touchdowns, was 13th in fantasy points. He has been a top 16 scoring receiver and has at least 8 touchdowns in 5 straight seasons.
Wow.
I mean, Tyler Lockett.
Top 16 and 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, and this is not a 6'5" Mike Evans-looking receiver. This is an undersized, extremely underrated Tyler Lockett, 8-plus touchdowns in 5 straight seasons. Last year, top 30 score in 13 of his 16 games. That's an over 80% hit rate. You feel really good about having him in your lineup. So he is 30 now, but it's incredible that he goes from Russell Wilson to Geno Smith, and his fantasy floor was higher. Maybe the highest we've seen from him in his career. He's just a tremendous player, and certainly a guy you can look for at your wide receiver 2 spot and feel pretty good about it.
Absolutely.
Another, there's a lot of guys I'm saying that about. It's just there's so much talent in this vicinity.
There seriously is. When just look again, I know I said this to start the show, but looking at the wide receiver position, all of these names, everybody is just so good. And it's like, well, you can make a case for so many of these guys to move up the list if you knew what the quarterback position was, or if they made up, you know, an upgrade here or there. So, all right, let's move ahead to number 18 with Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper's season last year was so interesting because as long as Jacoby Brissett was under center, he looked pretty good. And then Deshaun Watson came back. That offense seemed to really struggle with Deshaun Watson under center. So looking into a full off season with Deshaun Watson as his quarterback, how are you approaching Amari Cooper?
Yeah, so you're right. And look, I think a full season of Deshaun Watson will help things. Obviously, he came out slow last year and then was a little better in the final couple games of the season. But Cooper did have one of his better seasons going from Dallas to Cleveland. Who would have thought? 78 for 1160 and 9 touchdowns as a number 10 scoring receiver. A little misleading because he was held up for the whole season with 17th in points per game. But nonetheless, a wide receiver too, pretty much all season long. And you felt good about him. A top 20 fantasy receiver in his career now in 8 of his 10 seasons. Was 10th this season. I just mentioned that actually matched a career best. So this just continues a trend where Cooper has been a solid wide receiver too, but just has not gotten really over the top. We just have to accept that's kind of what he is.
Yeah.
7-plus touchdowns in 5 of his last 6 seasons. And actually, second at receiver in end zone targets last year. So they got him the ball near the goal line. That's something we want to see going forward. So Cooper, again, just solid, high floor. You know what you're going to get. He's still, he came into the league young, so he's still kind of in his prime. He's approaching 30, but nothing you have to worry about right now.
Feels like he's been in the league forever.
It does
feel that
way. Came in super young. Yeah.
And he is not always, hasn't felt like the sexy pick a lot of times, but I feel like with everything that we've just talked about, everything you described, he found a spot here in this Browns offense, and they are utilizing him on a game-by-game basis. Wide receiver 15. Mm-hmm. Wide receiver 15, man. With Jacoby Brissett under center for more than half the season. I think that's a huge part about it. All right, let's talk about Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel, who only played 13 games this last year, banged up. There were a lot of things going on with that 49ers offense. Went from Trey Lance to Jimmy Garoppolo to Brock Purdy. So there were a lot of things under center on top of the injury that he had. Plus, they brought in Christian McCaffrey, which sort of, you know, bought into that role of Deebo didn't have to necessarily maybe have as many carries as he did. So looking at Deebo and everything that happened last year, how are you approaching him in this way too early setup for 2023?
Yeah. Oof, I don't know if I should talk about him because he's the guy last offseason where I was like, look, I don't know why so many people are down on him. You know, he was so good the year before, and I kind of bought into it and drafted him on a few leagues and didn't go so hot for me. Didn't work out great with Deebo last year. Receiving basically cut in half from the year before in terms of yardage. He went from almost 1,400 yards to 632. and two touchdowns, from six receiving to two receiving touchdowns. Rushing, same kind of thing, from eight rushing touchdowns to three. From third to 28th in fantasy points per game, just plummeted there. One of the problems was where the location of his targets were. He had an 8.7 average depth of target in 2021. That fell to four, was dead last at receiver last year. It was all short area stuff, didn't allow as many big plays. Still the best at receiver with the ball in his hand, so there's room for hope for a bounce back for him because of how he is a playmaker and how they utilize him in the run game.
Who's throwing him the football, though, next year, Mike?
Yeah, that's what we're going to figure out. I don't know that because his catch, you know, his catch rate versus expected, catch rate over expected, was dead last at receiver. So
really?
Whoever was throwing it wasn't getting the ball to him well enough, certainly not as well as the year before. Look, this is just a guy that is kind of used like a receiving, a heavily utilized receiving running back right now. And it's going to limit his ceiling a bit. He doesn't get a lot of work near the goal line as well, despite all them touchdowns he scored a couple years ago. So I have some reservations, but, you know, he's really good. They're going to find ways to get the ball in his hands, and in PPR that should allow a lot of touches. But you're right. We have to figure that out. Trey Lance, Brock Purdy, someone else.
Yeah.
We don't know right now. Remember, you might say it's definitely Purdy, right? But he's going to be hurt. What, he had surgery, he's out for 6 months.
I don't think he hasn't had surgery yet. They had to push it back because of swelling in his elbow, so they're going to have to wait a little bit longer. So that's going to be a huge question mark. Mm. Huge question mark, because you talk about talent. Deebo Samuel belongs on this list without question. He can be way higher up on this because of that, but we got to figure out who's under center throwing in the football, because like you said, last year was really tough.
Yeah, and they're still going to have Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, all those players they're will be involved anywhere. In this offense. So I think... it might be a little bit more boom bust from this offense next year. And if they do struggle to lock down that quarterback spot, it could be inconsistent. But I believe in Kyle Shanahan, so that's why I still think Deebo belongs in this wide receiver two mix.
That's fair. Totally fair. All right, let's move ahead and talk number 16. And I love this guy. Everybody loves this guy. Garrett Wilson comes in here. And Garrett Wilson, if he had an established real quarterback throwing him the football, his ceiling is what? Mike Clay.
He has an elite ceiling. I thought he was tremendous last year. You know, I just said something I was wrong on with Deebo Samuel, so I'll say something I was right on, which was Garrett Wilson over Elijah Moore. For sure. You know, I liked him much more. Went with the pedigree last year. That one worked out if you went that direction. Mm-hmm. 83 catches, almost 1,100 yards, four touchdowns. Still only 30th on a points per game basis at wide receiver. He kind of had the slow start, and then you mentioned the quarterback issues. He kind of had some major duds, but also had some huge games and had a stretch there where he was one of the better receivers in fantasy. But again, much like Chris Olave, who already talked about, big-time target share, 25% as a rookie last year, was sixth at wide receiver in targets, 13 end zone targets, was fifth best. The big concern or problem area was catch rate, 56%. That was poor. Something that can certainly be solved if they improve the quarterback position. Uh-huh. So
yep.
This is a guy right now, maybe a little undervalued, even in a dynasty, from a dynasty perspective, because if they sign or acquire Aaron Rodgers, the hype is going to get out of control, because he would essentially be his, I don't want to say Davante Adams, but he would be his number one receiver. This is going to be his go-to guy in this offense. Garrett Wilson looks, again, we knew it was a good receiver class last year. We knew that, and Garrett Wilson is one of the headliners for sure.
Absolutely. The idea that both Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave will hopefully get an upgrade at the quarterback position is just really exciting, because both those wide receivers are so good. All right, let's move ahead. We got a few more to talk about to close out the top 12. We got DeAndre Hopkins coming in at 15. I don't want to say this one surprises me a little bit, but it surprises me that he's as high as he is, given his age, the fact that he missed half the season last year. So talk to me about why you like DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, about he's going to turn 31, and we have to keep an eye on this one. He is under contract with Arizona, but remember, like, at the end of the season, he kind of said goodbye.
That was weird.
So we don't know for sure if he's going to stick around with this new regime in Arizona. We'll keep an eye on that, but... the reason he's still in the top 15 is what he did when he came back last year. He showed no signs of age at all. 64 catches, 717 yards, three touchdowns in nine games. He was ninth in fantasy points per game. And that was after, look, the year before I was worried about him. He was 20th in points per game in 2021 and really bounced back in a big way last season. Target share was my big red flag with him last year. He went from 20% in 2021 to 29% last season. So
it's a big jump. Now, how much of that jump, though, was because they just continually rotated through and they never had their full supporting cast of wide receivers.
I think it was because it's DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay,
I
mean, that's fair.
Because even earlier in the season, I mean, Kyler Murray was force-feeding it to Hollywood Brown. That was his number one guy. And then he was out and Hopkins came in and he got him the ball as much as he could. And this is what this is the kind of target share you expect from DeAndre Hopkins, right? He's one of the best receivers in the NFL. So, but again, we don't know if he's going to be on the team. And if he is on the team, we don't know if Kyler Murray's going to play till week 7 or 8 because he may start on the PUP list. There's a lot of questions here, but DeAndre Hopkins, I still think, has another year or two left of high-level play. So, you know, kind of a conservative 15th for now. We'll see where he lands.
Nuke has a cap hit of $30.7 million, and 22.6 of that is dead money.
Not great.
From over the cap. Mm-hmm. Love those guys over there. So, obviously, if they were to cut him, they're not going to be saving a lot of money. They're going to just, they would eat a bunch of it. So, got to figure out what it is that they would do with him. Mm-hmm. Boy. All right, let's move ahead to 14. Another question mark here at wide receiver. Been a lot of rumors surrounding T. Higgins. I don't even know what to say. T is so good. Yeah.
There's rumors, but it's just kind of someone speculated. Could he become available or something? I don't think he's going anywhere.
And some of the trade rumors that I've seen out there on Twitter. Listen, I love and hate Twitter as much as the next person, but some of those rumors are like, who came up with this? Who said that this was going to be good? Like, I just can't. I haven't seen a lot that I feel like makes a lot of sense. So when you look at T. Higgins, you know, how are you valuing him? How are you looking at him?
Yeah, I didn't like how this season finished.
No.
Honestly, that worries me a little bit. A little over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns in 16 games this season. He was 19th in fantasy points. That's a step back from last year, right? He had actually his stat lines this year and last year almost exactly identical. Catches exactly the same, yardage off by about 60 yards, touchdowns off by 1. But he was 13th in fantasy points per game last year. He fell to 19th this year because he played 2 more games, right? So definitely a step back. Target share.
Like, let's do target shells from now on.
Target shells. It's like fantasy mixed with
Mario Kart.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Been playing that with the girls too much. But yeah, target share fell from 24 to 18%. And that was really apparent down the stretch. We saw more Jamar Chase getting him the ball as much as they could. And Higgins kind of lost out a little bit. Also, 5 end zone targets.
Yeah.
Lassie, you know how big this guy is? 5 end zone targets.
Isn't he 6'4"? I mean, he's a big wide receiver.
He's a big receiver, exactly. 45 receivers and more end zone targets last season. That's unacceptable and certainly disappointing. I still believe in Higgins. He's very young, super talented. He's going to get paid. I think he'll still be the number 2 target in this offense for a long time. And that can be enough to allow him top 15 production. You know, can this offense support 2 top 15 receivers most years? Absolutely. We've seen that a lot in the NFL. So I still believe in him. I think that he bounces back a little bit next season.
All right, let's talk about one more wide receiver here before we close this out, Mike. And we've got Chris Godwin coming in at wide receiver 13. And I feel like this is a situation I wonder how much there's going to be on Chris Godwin, given the fact that we told everybody, just keep waiting. If you draft this guy in the 6th round, 7th round, you're going to have a game changer. You're going to have someone to be able to help you have a league winner.
Mm-hmm. And he kind of did.
He kind of did. But I do feel like there was a ceiling to that. He wasn't the Chris Godwin that I was fully expecting coming back. And that was not because of him. That Buccaneers offense and Tom Brady obviously struggled.
So. Yeah, so no doubt about it. He only scored 3 touchdowns. That's kind of why sometimes that'll kind of mislead you on what he really brought to the table. But where you drafted him, all right, so think about where you had him, what your ranking was on him in the offseason. If I told you he's going to catch 100 passes this year, you would have moved him up in your rankings.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, he got 104 passes, over 1,000 yards, just the 3 touchdowns in 15 games. He missed a couple of games early on, still went over 100 catches, was 15th on a points per game basis. He's been top 15 4 straight seasons now. He has had such a tremendous floor in fantasy, exactly 81st in average depth of target each of the last 2 seasons, so it's a lot of short-range volume for him, but 8th in targets and 6th in catches last year, and again, that was with 2 missed games. The question becomes here, who's the quarterback? Same analysis as with Mike Evans. We just don't know who that's going to be, but Godwin's the real deal. The target share is going to be good. There are also some trade rumblings with him as well. I think our friend Bill Barnwell actually speculated he's a guy that could make sense for them to try to move on from. We'll keep an eye on that. For now, though, odds are he'll stick with Tampa Bay, and we'll see who the quarterback is.
All right. Before I wrap this up, I want to ask you one question. Because there are obviously a handful, like we've said, this entire show, there's a ton of great wide receivers in this league. Someone that didn't make this list, I just want to ask you about him. I'm assuming he's not inside the top 12. It's Calvin Ridley.
He is not in the top 12.
Calvin Ridley is not. Okay. Can confirm Calvin Ridley is not in the top 12. But I want to say this. Calvin Ridley's last full season in 2020, 90 catches for 1,374 yards and 9 touchdowns. That's a stat line that deserves to be on this list. Mm-hmm. But Calvin Ridley obviously missed an entire season last year. So how do you approach him coming into this year?
Yeah, he is a tricky one. So check this out. He is entering his age 28 season with one career top 20 fantasy season. He missed all of 2022 and he missed most of 2021. So he's played, what, 5 games in the last 2 seasons. He's already 20. He came into the league older. He's already 28. They have, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to be excited about this Jacksonville offense,
Maybe
right?
There's more to be not Trevor excited Lawrence. About, too, though.
Yeah, I mean, you have Christian Kirk, who is paid a lot. He's going to have a big role. Zay Jones looked like a fine. Evan Ingram is a free agent. We expect him to be back. Travis Etienne. I mean, I don't know on Ridley. I mean, obviously, he's super talented, but I think he's going to be a little overhyped. I mean, you mentioned that great year. I mean, his rookie year was also his only full season in the NFL. So there are more red flags than I think we kind of acknowledge with him right now. I'm very curious to see what his ADP lands on. I think I'm probably going to be a little lower. I think there's going to be a lot of hype on Ridley. I think there's enough reasons for concern not to get too carried away. I have him 35th for now, maybe too low, but I want to see how things kind of play out here.
Hey, man, really tough to figure out a guy who said played 5 games over the last 2 years. It's not, again, not about talent.
Not nothing. Yeah.
But it's about the idea that, like, we haven't seen him. So how are we? It's tough to project going into that. All right, we're going to come back in a little bit, and we're going to talk about wide receivers 1 through 12, Mike.
Yeah, next episode.
So,
we did 24 to 13. 24 to 13 here in this episode. Little tease, right? We're doing a little off-season countdown here. So then we'll get to the top 12, right?
I'm excited about this.
Let's do that. It's going to be fun. Some good players on that list.
All right, that's going to do it for Mike and I. We will be back soon. We love you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Don't forget to love each other. Please be kind to yourself. You deserve that. And we will see you guys, I don't know, whenever we show up in your feed next. Until then, we love you. See ya.
It's no secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you Alliance fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you.